Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. We are continuing this week in our study of lessons from the life of Jonah. The last few days, we have examined the passages in the book of Jonah that describe the prophet's amazing encounters with God and God's will. As you will recall, Jonah was given a very specific instruction from God. In the very first chapter, we find God's admonition to Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. This directive from God was not received with any joy or obedience on the part of Jonah, but quite the opposite. Jonah, immediately upon hearing that command from God, booked passage in the opposite direction. It says Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah rejected God's specific commandment for him. But we know the story continues that hard as he tried, Jonah could not escape the call from God to do his will by going to the city of Nineveh. As he tried to get away from God's will, he found himself in a most miserable situation. He was upon the ship on his way to Tarshish, and the word Tarshish means hard or breaking. And that's exactly where he booked passage to. He booked passage to the place of breaking, and it was Jonah that was going to be broken. In the middle of the stormy sea, Jonah ends up being tossed overboard by the sailors and swallowed by a great fish that God had appointed to take Jonah in. And for 3 days and three nights, Jonah experienced the darkness of the belly of that fish, the discomfort of that damp and foul and odorous place, until he came to his senses, repented to the Lord, and cried out for God's deliverance. God, in his mercy, spared Jonah's life, for that fish literally saved his life. He would have certainly drowned in that violent storm. But instead, after he had that change of heart, Jonah found himself vomited up by the fish onto dry land. Jonah had learned his lesson in the belly of that fish. He wasn't going to disobey God a second time. So he headed for Nineveh. God's word came to Jonah again, as we see in the first verse of chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you." Jonah was now ready to obey. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Jonah began to walk in obedience at that point, starting on the road to Nineveh. Nineveh was 500 miles from where Jonah lived. Nineveh was a capital city of one of the arch enemies of Israel, Assyria. Jonah had every natural reason to protest God's specific assignment of him to go to the city of Nineveh to preach. First of all, that was a dangerous assignment. Jonah was a Hebrew, and the Israelites and the Assyrians had been warring and battling for years. Secondly, Jonah, as a prophet, had prophesied some of the victories that the Israelites had experienced against the Assyrians. His name was most likely known in Nineveh as the prophet that had predicted the Israelite victories. Thirdly, the Assyrians were known for their cruel treatment of prisoners. Jonah may very well have been fearful of being taken prisoner by them when he showed up in their city and being the victim of some vicious or cruel treatment or even death. Also, Jonah could very well have felt that the Assyrians would never be receptive to a foreigner's message from God, and that it would be a great waste of time for the prophet to go to that place. But all of those arguments would have been from his natural mind, from his carnal thinking. Walking in obedience to God, whatever it is that he's called you to do, will require that you walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith in God's word and God's wisdom and not by the assessment of your natural mind. Jonah could have easily disqualified himself from that assignment simply by using his natural logic. You may be disqualifying yourself from a specific assignment you know God has been trying to give to you because of your own natural assessment of yourself, of the situation, of your lack in some area. And yet, God's will is what he longs for you to do. Walking in obedience to God's will require faith in God, faith in his word, and faith in his wisdom. William Carey has been called the father of modern missions. This man who lived in the 1700s felt a very strong call from God to go as a missionary to India. He could have easily disqualified himself. He had been sickly as a child, nearly died as a young man, and was never well in health. He was poorly educated. And not only that, all of the ministers that he knew ridiculed his idea of trying to evangelize the heathen, as they referred to it. But William Carey persisted in pursuing the will of God against all odds and even against the great discouragement of other ministers of the gospel at that time. He began preaching about overseas missions at meetings of Baptist ministers that he knew. He continually brought the subject up until they were tired of hearing it. In one famous exchange with the very minister who had baptized him, he was told, "Young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he'll do it without consulting you or me." Carey was not going to be dissuaded from obeying the word of the Lord. Though he had much resistance and he certainly had no natural qualifications to do the will of God in this area, no education, poor health, and literally no support from other people, he pressed on. The end of the story of William Carey's life tells the rewards of obedience. He ended up staying 41 years in India, dying there at the age of 73. And when all was said and done, he had translated the complete Bible into 6 languages, portions of the Bible into 29 other languages. He had founded over 100 rural schools for the people of India. He also started a college which is still training ministers today. He so influenced the nation of India that largely through his efforts, the practice of burning the widow on the husband's funeral pyre was finally outlawed. William Carey walked by obedience and faith to obey the instruction of God. It required faith, faith that God was able to do through him what natural logic would have said was impossible. And so it was with Jonah. He had to walk by faith to obey God, to go to the city of Nineveh. It seemed ridiculous. He seemed unqualified. It appeared to be dangerous. And the possibility of this heathen nation being receptive seemed dismally small. Yet walking in obedience by faith in God always brings results. It did so in the life of William Carey, and it also did so in the life of Jonah. His preaching had dramatic results. Everyone in the city of Nineveh, from the king to the cattle, repented. The entire city put on sackcloth and ashes, including the animals, sat in ashes and cried out to God for mercy. The story of the repentance of the city of Nineveh stands alone in biblical history as one of the most dramatic revivals ever seen. Walking in obedience to God by faith always brings results. God wants you to obey Him, but it will require faith, that is, trust in God, that it will be He that does it, that He is able to do it, and He's able to do it through you. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you to walk in obedience to the Lord, regardless of what He's called you to do, and trust by faith that He is faithful who promised. Have a victorious week. Hi, thanks for listening today. I would like to invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Hidden with Christ Ministries. We call our partners supply keepers. In the Old Testament, the supply keeper was the one that maintained and distributed the material supplies needed by the soldiers who were going out to the front lines of battle. Our supply keepers help us broadcast the gospel around the world. We are currently broadcasting our program in Russia, in Europe, in North Africa, in the South Pacific, and Australia, and we are longing to expand into the Middle East and to all of Asia. Call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS or email us through our website and let us know that you'd like to become a supply keeper, helping to disciple the nations before the return of our Lord.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.